Well, God is good. Amen.
Hello, Don. Good to see you.
Well, welcome, everyone. First of all, I want to acknowledge this Veterans Day. How many veterans do we have? And if you would stand at your feet, we want to honor you as veterans. Let's give them a hand for serving our country. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, men and women, for serving, and we have great freedoms because of it. Amen. Amen. Ron and Dawn, the crew went out yesterday to Hugs. Amen. Share, brother. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, tomorrow, men's ministry, Tiger, he's right over here. Tiger will be bringing the word tomorrow. Woo! Mark Wisner, where is Mark at? He'll be bringing some chili out. So, men, if you like chili and some word, it'll be great. I like chili. Who likes chili in here? All right, we got a lot of people. So, tomorrow will be great. Tiger will be bringing the word. Mark will be bringing some chili. It'll be a great time. 7 o'clock, men, right in the entranceway there, our little room, so it'll be great. And nursing home is this Saturday at 1:15. The crew will be going out. And if you're not attached to a life group, there's many information out there in the foyer. Please grab that and be mindful of what's coming up here soon. Thanksgiving will be here soon. Christmas is right around the corner. How many think this year is rapidly going by? To me, this was a fast year. I don't know if it was for you, but it seemed like it was a fast year. And it seemed like we had 2 days of fall and winter came. So that's kind of how that is. This last night and this morning, I was going through the Gospels. And Jesus, before he ascended, he says, listen, I have to go away. He says, where I'm going, you won't be able to come right now, but very soon you'll follow. But he says, I'm going to send the Comforter, which is the what? Somebody say Holy Spirit. I mean, as we need to let the Holy Spirit be what he is to us. He's the Comforter. He's the Helper. He's the Paraclete. He comes alongside. And when you get God helping you, is there a greater help that you could ever have on the planet? I think many times we don't allow him to do what he needs to do or wants to do. Well, that's good preaching. Let the Holy Spirit work. You can talk with him. I mean, he can voice. He can help. It's like if you realize that when you pray, it's not like your prayers have to go 18 billion miles up to heaven and then wait for 18 million miles to come back. He walks with us. I mean, he's a breath away. So we need to take advantage of that relationship. Because if God be for you, who can be against you? I mean, no matter what condition, what state you're at, he is there. He should be the first one consulted on situations. And the last one you speak to before you breathe your last there. Hallelujah. I mean, this is a lifelong relationship. Amen. You met him at new birth. And when you finally ascend into glory, he'll be with you then too. Hallelujah. Amen. So God is good. Ushers, if you prepare, we'll receive this morning's offering, and we'll get right in the Word. I got a great message I feel this morning. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Holy Spirit, we thank you that you're the Comforter. That, Lord, you come alongside. That you said you'd never leave us or forsake us. Thank you for the conviction that comes that brings change. The comfort of the Holy Spirit. Lord, the joy that we can have walking with you. And Lord, we speak over this offering. Lord, you'll continue, Lord God, to prosper your servants. Lord, we speak this building paid for in full. in the name of Jesus. Lord, open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing, Lord, we're not able to contain. Thank you, Lord God, that you're with us. That, Lord Jesus, today, Lord, is the day you have made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Bless this time in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, worship team. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Psalm 51. Psalm 51. I'm going to continue on this message on sifting, shaking, and breaking. Hopefully you've enjoyed this series. If you need, if they are online, you can listen to previous ones. I'm going to turn this on here. And I know the Lord is doing a work today. He's working in me. How many is he working in you? Thank God that we're not the same. I know we haven't arrived yet, but God is changing. I like things that are restored back to original. How many else? It's only original once. But the truth is, when God works in us, he can make us better than brand new without the hint of sin. And that's an awesome thing. The last thing that will be restored is this physical body. This one here can only take us so far. But God's going to give us a new body likened unto Christ. You know, it's going to be great never being sick again when you make it to heaven. Amen? There's no handicapped spaces. There's no pharmacies there. All those things are done away with. Hallelujah. There's no wheelchairs. There's no crutches. All those former things are done. I'm looking forward to that day. Say amen. I know I have some relatives that have went on before us, and the truth is that, let's face it, it's all rapidly going to. In Psalm 51, are you there? I want to look at verse 17 this morning. I'm going to start there. It says, the sacrifice of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, you will not despise. When it comes to now sifting, shaking, and breaking, I'll get it out. Brokenness is a blessing. Because it puts us on the road to breakthroughs. I said brokenness is a blessing because it puts us on the road to breakthroughs. When it comes to brokenness, the Lord will not despise the broken. We need to have the heart to say, you know what? If God be for them, we also need to be. Many times when it comes to this planet, there are a lot of hurting people. Sometimes it's masked in other areas. Sometimes it's sheltered. Sometimes it's isolated. But I want you to know that God will help the brokenhearted. How many in here have ever suffered a blow in your life and it just really devastated you? Let me see your hand. I mean, it was during those times, it's like the strength seems to leave. It seems like everything's compounded. It seems like it adds upon. It's like there's a memory. You can hear something. You can have this heard or seen something, and it all adds to it. How many ever became recluse in those areas? Like, I just don't want to be around people at all. A couple of you nodding. How many knows that happens there? You have emotional highs and lows. You find yourself crying in somewhere places, crying in the bathroom, crying in the car. All of a sudden, your emotions are kicking in. Sometimes you can lose sleep with that or not even feel like getting up at all. The truth is that it's amazing how this body responds to those things. This body was never designed to go through these things. It's just a true fact. Yet when sin entered the world, death came by sin, and that came with it. Can you imagine how Adam and Eve felt when they realized they sinned against God? Could you imagine the grief that gripped them knowing that the relationship had changed because they blew it? How many think that was an awful thing? I really believe that God in his mercy showed them the cross so they could get through that area of grief. Because when he spoke to the enemy, he said, one day there's one going to rise that's going to crush your head. You're going to strike his heel, but he's going to crush your head. So they had that hope that one day even that would be changed. Isn't that great to know? How many knows, even in our grief, God will speak a word. There are sometimes we're so hard to hear it because we're so much engulfed in our present. Listen to me, don't make your struggles a lifetime. Don't make them a lifetime. Work through them. They're real. But don't make them a lifetime. Work through those areas. In Matthew 5, verse 3, it says this, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God." In Psalm 34, verse 18, if you're taking notes, "The Lord is near to them that are of a broken heart, and he saves those with a contrite spirit." When it comes to our lives, all of us need to change. Listen to me. Don't be left to yourself. You're reduced to nothing. But if you're on that road to say, "God, I'm worthy with this. You're working in me and through me," that's a great place to be. I'm here to say there, I can't remove you from all the pain you'll ever experience. There are sometimes you're going to do everything right and walk through it. But you got God with you. And then you also have some people that will care for you. Now, nobody knows exactly, but they can help in those arenas. Sometimes I've learned that if you got a whole load, it's nice for somebody to take a straw weight off you. Sometimes that's all we can do is maybe pull a feather weight off, but at least it's something. But the truth is that we all have to bear those things. But the truth is you have to look and say, "God will be with you. Are you with me?" When Jesus says this, hey, in Jeremiah 15, verse 19, "Therefore, thus saith the Lord, if you return to me, then I'll bring again. You'll stand before me as precious. Though you were vile, I will change." Hallelujah. When this shifting, shaking, and breaking happens, brokenness sets in. But I want you to know this. Brokenness is a spiritual position that attracts God's attention. It attracts God's attention. I mean, he opposes the proud, but gives grace unto the humble. See, we need to look at brokenness in our life as something that, you know what? This is the place of promotion. I'll get to that in a minute. We need to look at brokenness and say, you know what? God knows what I'm feeling. Jesus was broken. Do you know that? Can you imagine what he went through? Could you imagine feeling the pain of every sin of the world? Could you imagine feeling the pain of the Father having to turn from his Son for a moment as sin was placed? It tore him up. He said, "Father, why have you forsaken me?" That was the greatest pain he ever experienced, the separation from God, so we wouldn't have to. To me, the hell, the greatest hell, besides the burning, the pain, the suffering, is the absence of the presence of God. Can you imagine that gripping feeling? But I'm so glad the relationship was restored soon after. I mean, that's awesome. So Jesus experienced something for me that I never want to experience for myself. I never want to experience, "Depart from me, I never knew you." I never want to have that feeling where now I'm separate from the Almighty God. Jesus knows what it feels like to be broken. He knows what it feels like to go through situations. He even knows what it feels like to lose a loved one. It doesn't say when Joseph passed away, but how many knows Mary was the only one at the cross? How many knows there was this, he felt every feeling that we ever, plus more, multiplied more. When it comes to brokenness, brokenness always gives us more understanding of him and also ourselves. I want to say this. Admittedly, we resist the process. Nobody in here woke up this morning and goes, "You know what, Lord, break me down. Lord, make me humble. Lord God, just take it all. Lord, let me experience it." That's not in our natural makeup. But how many of the Lord will walk us through? Now, we've all heard the story of Job, true? How many have heard of Job before? How many of those Job went through it? Let's face it, he went through it. He went through it, and it, listen to me, there's on every word, it's like every time a message came, there was another problem. How many ever had a day like that? The wind blew and all of a sudden this, and then it's this, then it's this, then it's this. And then you kind of hope for some good words. The truth is that he walked through that area. He experienced that, yet God still restored. We also need to look ahead sometimes. Sometimes when the problems are so big, you need to start looking down the road. Kind of quiet this morning. If you're taking notes, number one, brokenness exposes the light that's in us. And what I mean by that, Christ in us. In Philippians 2, verse 15, you that you walk blameless and harmless sons of God, without rebuke, in a crooked and perverse generation, that you shine forth as lights in the world. How many of us that brokenness will get you to the place where, like, it starts to let that light shine? Because the strength you have is not natural. The help that you have is not natural. To the world, they'll be able to see that. Now, here's a true fact. All of you have heard this. I've done enough funerals in my life as a pastor. When somebody does not know the Lord and they pass away, they're not in a better place. But sometimes in our human nature, we try to say, well, they're in a better place. If they're not born again, they don't go to heaven, it's not better. No matter how bad it was here. So when it comes to those areas, here's the hard balance. It's like you want to be compassionate and loving and caring, but you also still need to be truthful. Are you with me? Because if you perpetuate the lie, then they don't know the truth. Are you hearing me? So there's always a hard balance there, bringing in the truth with it, but also covering it with love. Well, don't wait till the last breath to get your life right. Do it while you have day. Are you with me? Night comes when no man can work. And I've seen enough people pass away that when you're breathing your last, generally you're not thinking about God. You're just thinking about the next breath. While you have life now, today's the day of salvation. Don't harden your heart. Today's the day to open that up. When I begin to look in Scripture, if you're taking notes, in Judges chapter 7, verse 19 and 20, Gideon had 100 men, and he was supposed to go outside the camp. And the enemy was out there, and God gave him an illustration. I want you to take some lanterns, every one of you, and I want you to have the flame in there, but I want you to have it hidden. And when you get close to the enemy, break that open and let that light shine. Well, what happened is the enemy saw that with 100 men. When it blew open, they thought there were more. How many knows that? It would amplify in the dark. How many knows when we get broken, we can amplify the light? I said, we can amplify the light. We don't have to change the light at all. We're just letting more of it shine. In Judges chapter 7, it says this, they broke it, they blew the trumpets, the pitchers that were in their hands, they broke those, and it amplified. And the sword of the Lord, or the sword of Gideon, brought the victory. Well, the Lord will do the same for us here. I mean, Lord, I want that light to shine. Now, everybody be honest in here. Sometimes we darken the light, it's still there, by murmuring, by complaining, by fault-finding. Come on. I mean, Lord, I want to put all that away. We've all had times where our headlights or you run out of the windshield washer fluid in the middle of winter. How many of you ever had that? And you turn those wipers on and it just goes, and it's worse than ever. I mean, sometimes you got to fill the bottle up. I've yet to have an angel come by and fill mine. Maybe he does yours, but I got to dump some stuff in there. But I've learned this, that the light is there, but I don't want it to be dull. I want to let it shine. When Gideon was out there and he told him, break those pitchers, it began to amplify that. It's almost like an explosion of light came out. I want that. When we come to church, I want there to be an explosion of light. I mean, it illuminates every area. It'll also make the enemy shudder and flee because we'll have a trumpet going. We'll have a sound that they don't have. And God will bring in the sword of the Lord. Hallelujah. Come on. Sometimes in my arrogance, I miss out on it. Lord, break me. Lord, keep me in that place of humility and change. I've learned this. You don't have much to fall if you're on your knees. Say amen. I mean, this is a quick place down. That's why I chuckle and sometimes I feel bad. When I see somebody that the world calls powerful, an athlete or a celebrity, think they got it all. I mean, you're not going to take it with you. Let's zoom in on me. Let's bring the camera to the hospital. Because I'm going to give them $20, but I want to make sure everybody knows I'm such a good guy. Do you know what Jesus said? Let your light so shine before men that they may see. But don't look to do it for that sake. Do it unto your God. How many of you do it unto your God, God will see it. In Luke 11, verse 33, no man who lights a candle puts it in a secret place or under a bushel, but on a candlestick that they may see the light. What good is the light if it's darkened or blocked out? Let it shine. Amen? Now, today we have some unbelievable bulbs. Halogen came out. Then all of a sudden, now we got LEDs. They're bright bulbs. Most cars now are going to that area. Previously, listen to me, you used to look in the mirror, if it seemed like everyone has their brights on now. It's just normal light. The illumination is a whole lot better. Shouldn't the church be? I've never seen more darker days than we're living now. Then the church should shine like unbelievable. It should be so bright, it's attractive. Come on. But if we're dull, they can drive right on by. No, let it shine. Brokenness positions you to let it shine. Say amen. When God begins to break you, you know what he does? He helps you reach the lost. Without light shining, the lost won't see. It's without hope. You've been saved for a purpose, not just for you either. Your life needs to count, and it can every day. My job is not to save people. My job is to let the light shine, and God will save them. Now, he wants to use us. How many of you get it wrong? I love the testimony Ron has. God used them to see 7 people come to Christ. But none of us can draw people to repentance. That's the Holy Spirit's job. But we position ourselves to do what is right. We reach out in what we can. We show the love. How many knows that draws people in? Then we speak them the message. They respond. How many knows it makes it a whole lot easier knowing that he's the Savior? I'm just introducing it to him. Then I want to represent it appropriately. Does that make sense? It makes it easier to win people to Christ when it's the Holy Spirit's job. Lord, use me. Say amen. How many knows, Lord, use me? How many knows the Lord has a lot of seeds that are out there that wants to come in? A lot of sheep that are astray. How many knows they need to see? Many times when you're in darkness, you don't know. Amen? That's what I appreciate about Ron and Dawn. They've walked through some brokenness in their life that has allowed them for God to use them. Isn't that true? Without the brokenness, you wouldn't have what you have today. It also helps others see that, hey, here's who I am. God help me. Amen? He can help you. Is this good? When it comes to the light, you know what? It also assists us and reveals to us. Sometimes you need to look at your own path to make sure you're on the right one. How many knows it's a lamp unto your what? Your feet. That you can see. Listen to me. You can preach the gospel and yourself be a castaway. Paul said this. Though, Lord, woe unto me if I preach the gospel and I find myself not living it, I become a castaway. How many of you got to believe and live what you're speaking to? That's good preaching today. Brokenness positions you in that way. Number two, brokenness produces real fruit. Somebody say real fruit. Now, I'm not talking about bananas and apples. In John 12, verse 24, truly, truly, or verily, verily, I say to you, except a corn of wheat fall in the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it dies, it bears forth much fruit. It comes to that place, listen to me, that, hey, I'm going to start dying to this daily thing. I'm not walking in my own ways. The Lord, now brokenness has positioned me to bear more fruit. And when it starts to come in, you become humble enough to walk in it. That's the problem with the power gifts in the church. You get a lot of novices that think, oh, look at me, I can heal people. You get puffed up with pride and soon God isn't using you at all. You can't take glory unto yourself. I've seen a lot of ministries pop up, woo, 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 gone. How many of us, this is a marathon race. It's not a sprint.
But too often, many times, we start looking at the gift saying, well, since God's gifted me, I must be all that. No, God's gifting's made you that. But you need to have character with this. I mean, understand that. That's why when it comes to maturity, we have to mature in the faith. Grow in that grace and knowledge. So as God uses you, you can truly give him the glory. Now, if somebody do this, please do this. If you sing a song, you do something, somebody greets you and say, you know what, man, thanks for doing that. That was awesome. At that moment, receive what the person has shared. Thank them for it. Then privately go to God and say, God, I couldn't do this without you. You're awesome. Amen? That way you received your brother and sister. You honored their thank you, but you go to God and thank him. Because without him, you couldn't even have done that. Everybody with me on that? Because if you just go, oh, no, no, it's nothing. It's just the Lord. It's like talking to who? No, I thank you for doing that. God's allowed you. You receive it, then go to God and thank him. When it comes to brokenness, carrying your cross keeps you in a humble position. Doesn't Jesus say, pick up your cross daily and deny your... How many of those denying me is a great feat? Man, that's a whole lot. I can stop there the rest of the day. How about this? Die daily, pick up your cross, and follow Jesus. How many of those, you start doing that, you can stop worrying about everybody else. Stop picking on somebody else's fault. Man, I got enough to deal with here. Amen? And if I got my hands on the beam, hello? It won't be in places it shouldn't be. Number three, brokenness releases a new fragrance. It's a fragrance of love. In Mark chapter 14, verse 3, how many remember when they were over Simon's house? They were sitting at meat, and a woman came in with the alabaster box. It was precious ointment. It was precious to her. It was the most valuable thing she possessed at the time. It was worth some dough. And now Jesus is having dinner over somebody's house. She comes in. Now, how have the audacity this woman shows up to a guy's group? Amen? You got all the disciples. You got Jesus there. You got some Pharisees. You got some Sadducees. You got some religious folk. And here's this lady comes. And she comes in the room and busts it open. She changes the fragrance of the room. Brokenness brings a new fragrance to the church, to your own personal life, and to everywhere you go. That brokenness is of love. It's precious. Her brokenness released that fragrance that came that these men did not have, but she had it. She realized what she was forgiven of. What God set her free from, and she brought it in the house. Hallelujah. How many knows you need to bring love in the house? You need to bring the presence in the house. I don't care how stinky it is, it'll change because you showed up. I don't need to go along with the stink, I need to change it. Oh, that's good preaching. How many knows she brought a fragrance there, and then they started to chide her. Hey, here's Judas. Man, that could have been sold for some dough. Then he speaks the word, she did this not for your sake, but for mine. Notice who it was for. Jesus will recognize an offering for him, even if it's public. Oh, I can preach that too. Kind of quiet today. This scent was a scent of freedom. It was a scent of provision. Bringing what's precious always changes the environment. Brokenness releases it. We need to have that. When you give, listen to me, you're just not throwing something in the offering. You're giving a portion of yourself. Lord, unto you, I give unto you. My wife and I do that. We never make offering a duty, but a great opportunity. Another opportunity, God, that you can bless. You can touch somebody's life. Even if we don't see tangibly the moment, God, for you to be the glory. Amen? Think about it. Are you worried about what you're going to eat in heaven? Are you really? Are you worried about where you're going to live in heaven? Are you worried about your health care plan when you get to heaven? No one is here. It doesn't enter even in you. It's not even in us on any level. It's amazing how God has already taken care of all that, even in our hearts and minds. I got you taken care of. Then we hate money today. We need money today. How many of us we need to operate it? They don't give me free gas here at the church. Say amen. We got three furnaces that crank it out all the time. Three air conditioners all the time. Well then, Lord, you can get it through your people, true? And I thank you for your faithfulness. Don't get me wrong. But we have to look and say, you know what? Then God, I want to be faithful. Because Lord, if I take care of your house, you'll take care of my house. How many is the Lord to do that? I love God's house. I'll be honest with you. I do. Whatever we can do to make it better, Lord, let it be that way. Amen? Number four, if you're taking notes. Brokenness allows for multiplication. I like to call it leftovers. How many of those in Matthew chapter 15, verse 26 and 27? They went out and gave. And she said this, Lord, I know the children eat at your bread, but even the dogs get some that fall from the master's table. How many think that Lord can meet your needs even if you feel like you're even remotely inadequate? When he broke the five loaves and fishes, did you not have enough left over? How many of those God's multiplication is like that? God's multiplication just doesn't meet the need. There's always left over. Are you with me? How many of those, it isn't just eking by, God will make a way. There's enough left over. Listen to me, that not only that, you can live on what God gives too. Think about it. It gives you in that place. Brokenness gets you to that position where, like, Lord, thank you. My needs are met, and there's some leftover glory to God. Hallelujah. So the leftovers come when you put him first and not last. When the boy offered up to his to Jesus, hey, the disciples found a kid. Notice who they found. You had to be pretty desperate to walk around looking for some food, and the only place you could find it was a kid that just came from the grocery store. Yes or no? They didn't go to the store. They didn't go to find some rich guy. They found a kid with a few loaves and fishes. He was going home from the market to feed his family. But whoever this kid was smart enough to go, I'll give it to you. And I have to believe he walked home with more than what he gave that morning. Because I've never seen God cheap anybody out. Is this good preaching? And all of a sudden now he takes, can you imagine he coming home that day? Maybe he took one of the baskets home. Yeah, I don't know, man. I just had a few loaves and fishes, and Jesus needed it, and now here it is. That's how God does things. Amen? When the widow was in the back and she had a couple of copper coins, which is worthless to some degree, but it was still money, Jesus said she gave more than all of you. You all were impressed when the money hit the bottom of the barrel, and they all went, ooh, look how holy they are. Man, they give a lot. Blessed. And she drops in a couple coins, and Jesus said, see this woman? She gave more than them all. She gave out of her need. Can you imagine God speaking over your offering? He still watches how people give, too. Oh, man. Offerings increasing next week. Brokenness doesn't lead to barrenness. Brokenness leads to blessedness. I'll say it again. Brokenness doesn't lead to barrenness. Brokenness leads to blessedness. Blessed are those who open up their hearts. Blessed are the doors to receive. Whenever you're broken in those areas, you're ready to receive more because now your hands are where they need to be. Your heart is right where it needs to be, and God can pour back. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for they shall see God. And I really believe this with all my heart. The more the need to reach the needs of the people, the more the blessing of God will be there. Amen? I remember I was talking to Tommy Barnett one day from Phoenix. I think he's retired now. His son's kind of taking over everything. And he said this to me. He goes, you know what? He goes, I've been a pastor for so many years. But here's what I've learned. If I reach people nobody wants, God always gives me people everybody wants. He said, there's the key. I reach people nobody wants. God gives me people everyone wants. I mean, that's a great way to do it. I thought that's good wisdom there. I thank you for that. Then you know what? Whomsoever will may come to Lighthouse. Whomsoever will may be reached out to. It doesn't matter. Because none of us start in the early ages of our life saying, I want to be homeless. I want to be destitute. I don't want to have anything. No one has that as a baby. Are you with me? But sometimes there's conditions. Sometimes there's reasons. And sometimes, let's face it, we can have our own faults too. I'm not going to gloss over it. But no matter what it is, the reasons are relevant. Now, Lord, help us. Lord, help us. Let us be broken. Amen? Because so go some of us without Jesus. And we can't pick on sin either, saying, well, look at what they did. Well, look at what you just did. It's awful quiet today. Pastor's kind of sassy. I didn't get a chance to preach on Wednesday, so I stored up all week for y'all. Amen? Listen, God never allows brokenness to crush or destroy our lives, but to bless us. Jesus was broken, but he was blessed. I can see him humbling himself. I always marvel at this, and I have to just feel this, that if he stooped down and he came to service today in all his glory, and he says, I want all of you to take your shoes off. I'm going to wash your feet. And he takes off his outer garment. And he takes up a towel and a bucket. How many here would be like, Lord, I'm not worthy? How many like, and all of a sudden you look down and he's washing your feet. The God of the universe, the most powerful person that will ever, ever, ever be, stoops down and washes your feet. And then he says this, if I being your Lord does this, how much more you should do it one for another. That's how he is. When you get to heaven, that's the type of guy he's going to be. That's the servant we have, even though he's Lord of all. Lord, that grips my heart every time I ponder it. I am not worthy. John the Baptist said this, Lord, I'm not worthy. You stoop down and unlash my sandals. But Jesus said, suffer it to be so. And he said, okay, I will baptize you. He looked at it. He was walking in that humility. He understood who he was. Listen to me. We get to serve the Lord our God. Mortal flesh gets to serve a mighty God. Then we need to do it with the right heart. The heart that Jesus had is not like the world. Jesus said, love those who hate you. That's not normal. How about this one? Give and it shall be given. No, there in the world is take all you can so you have. Every principle goes against the grain of this world. But it's a spiritual principle. It will work because God is in it. Blessed are the broken spirit, the contrite heart. It gets God's attention. What can he do with a prideful servant? Not much. But somebody who is humble, say, Lord, I don't even know how to do this, but help me. God will help you. Instead of our own talent shine through, well, I don't need that. I don't need that. I don't need that. Everything we do, we need to bathe in prayer. I don't care how talented you are, how anointed you think you are, you still need God. It needs to come forth in that area. Brokenness, listen to me. I don't want to call it my friend, but I need it. Then Lord, let me be broken. May I never trust in the arm of flesh, but in God. Hallelujah. How many are enjoying this message here? Then look at it. How many want to let that light shine? Then, Lord, break that picture open. The light's still good. Let it shine. Amen? Start to look at your life saying, God, I'm going through this, but you're going to see me through. And if the Lord sees you through, you're better for it. And listen, if you're humble, it's hard to be hurt. It is really hard to be hurt when you're walking humble. You only fall a little bit, and then you find out that, you know what? God's taking me through it. Hallelujah. When it comes to words, listen, they can be hurtful. But if you got the armor on, that means you need to listen to what God says about you. What's God say about you? And I learned this. If you walk humble, you're starting to walk like Jesus walked. And not do this either. Lord, I'm humble. Praise the Lord. Most humble man in the church. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, don't do that. That's false humility. But let your light shine. Walk in that arena. And let the situations you're facing bring brokenness, because it will never crush you with God. But if you allow it to your own self, you'll be overburdened. No. God's measure is not enough to crush you, but to keep you. And it only breaks your outer shell. Hallelujah. So more light can shine. Amen. I love about the Lord is that He doesn't polish you up, He changes you totally. Amen. It's not a redo, it's a renew. Hallelujah. You become a new creation. The old has what? Passed away. The new has come. Hallelujah. Just keep driving away from those areas of sin in your life. Keep it in the rearview mirror. Hallelujah. And then one day, face to face, won't that be more glorious than ever? Picture a whole generation of humble people preferring one another. That's heaven. If there was modern currency, no one would take your stuff, even if it sat on your front door. If there was $1 billion stacked up as high as whatever a billion looks like, nobody would touch your stuff. I mean, that's so awesome. Lord, I want to be complete in you. Brokenness gets me to that position. God, I want to walk it out. Amen. Enjoy this morning. How many are walking through some things? Let me say it this morning. How many of you can realize and let that stuff bring you to that brokenness and surrender with Him? How many are starting to look at challenges like, God will see me through? I want us to. Listen to me. If you're taking too much on, the load gets too heavy. Only shoulder your portion. Give the rest to the Lord. His yoke is easy and His burden is... You need to speak that. When it crushes you, there's too much. Shoulder what God wants you to. You'll have to bear some. I can't say different. But shoulder what God wants you to and give the rest to Him. Amen? And you'll see, God will see you through. I guarantee it. He will see you through and you'll be a better man or woman. That's what I appreciate about Dawn. First time I met Dawn, she was so honest. She said, I've done this, 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 but Jesus is working in my heart. Look at her now, Queen of Heaven. Hallelujah. Grandkids coming all over now. Glory to God. Can He do it for anybody in here? Then don't let your pain or even your own mistakes cripple you to the place where God can't work. Let it bring you to a humility. Greatest thing you could ever do is look up and say, Father, forgive me, I've sinned. Jesus said, which of the two were justified? Lord, I thank you, I'm not like that guy. He's a great sinner. I give, I do this. And the other guy said, Lord, be merciful to me, not even looking up. Which of the two went away justified? God will justify, He's near. And you'll find out that He wasn't in the pride arena. He was always in the humble arena. When you finally get down that place, you realize He's been there the whole time. Ah, I could preach that. He's never in that lofty high position of pride, but He walks with the humble. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for they shall see God. Hallelujah. Secondly here, I'm in here, I've really decided I'm going to live all out for God these last days. Let me see your hand. You've determined, no matter how the earth goes, as for me and my house, I'm serving the Lord. I mean, we need to declare that. Your family needs to hear that. As for me and this house, we're serving the Lord. Somebody takes a stand, then somebody else can take one. But if we take no stand, nobody will stand. I'm serving the Lord. Third thing here is, how many know somebody who's going through something even now? Can you extend that hand? Extend that hope to them. Share with them, God will help them. Pray with them. Do some encouragement there. Take that gospel out and make a difference. And last here, how many know somebody who doesn't know the Lord? Then let that brokenness propel you to share the good news. He's the Savior, you're just the servant. You're the ambassador that brings the message to the land, really to the nations. Lord, let me be that person, amen. I want to serve the Lord greater than I've ever served Him before. And I want to go with a church that does too. Amen. If you would lift your hands towards heaven. Father, I pray a blessing on this congregation. Lord, every transgression, forgive us. Lord, the times we've walked in pride or arrogance, maybe murmured or complained, Lord, we've hidden that light under something, a bushel, or God, we want to let it shine. Lord, like Gideon's 100, Lord, we want to break those pitchers open and, Lord, amplify that light. Lord, we want to make sure that music plays, that sound of praise to go forth. And Lord God, the sword of the Lord, the sword of Gideon to come upon. Father, I pray You'll meet every need in this house this morning. Bless them as they go, Lord, in Your abundance. In Jesus' name, amen.